Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Today's Issues is the name of the program on American Family Radio. American Family Radio, that's what you're listening to. We have 184 stations across the good old U.S. of A. And we have many people who listen around the world on our app, our American Family Radio app, which you can get on your smart device. Or you can watch the show and comment on the show on our Today's Issues Facebook page because we are live video streaming. Walker is with me, Walker Wildman, Ed Battagliano, and Steve Jordahl has joined the panel. Good morning, Steve Jordahl.
Good morning, Tim Wildman.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm well. Actually,
were you playing a game there on your phone or something, Steve?
Yeah, well, I'm a newsman. I'm connected to this
okay.
thing. So this is what happened last night to me. I am having some people work on my house, so I had to leave work just a little early after I got done with my last broadcast. I hadn't yet finished my story, and I hadn't yet done all the paperwork I have to do to end my day across the street. So I had to go home to meet the guys that were working on the house, and I was going to come back later and finish up all that. And I
sounds like a confession is coming.
Well, the workers didn't get home done until about 9 o'clock, and I just forgot. So 3 o'clock this morning, I sit bolt upright in bed and think I haven't done all the work I needed to do last night.
Yeah,
and I couldn't get back to work.
That's a terrible feeling.
I couldn't get back to work. So 4:30, I get out of bed and I crawl down here, finish my work, and go home.
So you've been here since 4:30?
Well, I went home for about 45 minutes.
Wow. Well,
so I'm a little tired.
The thing
is,
you felt convicted.
If I'm asleep, just
about cheating the ministry out of work.
If,
you know, that's a good thing, Steve. It'd be worse if you didn't feel.
If I fall asleep, just throw something at me.
There's a lesson in there somewhere. I'm not sure what it is, but there's a lesson in there somewhere.
I tell you what we got going on here between Steve and Ed. We've got purple and
black.
And black.
He's got a black shirt with a purple tie. I've got a purple shirt with a black T-shirt.
Right. What's the significance of this?
No
royalty.
Significance. It just goes
royalty.
Good together.
Royalty?
Black and purple go. They,
black and
they
purple?
Rock.
It's like a bruise, but.
True. Well, the Bruise Brothers.
The Bruise Brothers. Okay, the Bruise Brothers. Okay,
that's pretty funny right there.
Just, I know people don't want to talk about Oprah Winfrey versus Donald Trump in a potential presidential election. I think that is in Revelation.
Huh? It does signal
I think
the end
that
of something.
Signals,
I don't
signals
know if it's the
end
world
of
or...
the world as we know it. This is just in the what it's worth department, okay? And I know people are saying it's not worth the paper it's written on. Well, you're gonna have to change that analogy because we're talking about the internet. So I don't know, not worth the whatever you want to say.
The bytes,
the screen it's typed on. Okay. Anyway, Rasmussen, a very reputable.
Yes.
Polling firm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Says that TV personality Oprah Winfrey is the likely winner over, of course, we've heard this before, likely winner over President Trump if the 2020 elections were held today. Of course, Oprah Winfrey is not committed to run yet.
Right.
So this is all speculation, but... says the latest Rasmussen reports national telephone and online surveys find that 48% of likely U.S. voters would opt for Winfrey, while 38% would choose Trump, but a sizable 14% are undecided. Of course, President Trump hasn't even been in office for a year, and we're already talking 2020 presidential politics. That's how we are in America today.
If we could go back in time and have lunch with...
If I could save time in a bottle...
We could do that. Thank you, Jim Croce.
Yeah.
But if we could go back in time and have lunch with President Lincoln and Washington, and we could explain the whole media thing to them, what do you think they would say if they found out that it might be a Donald Trump against Oprah Winfrey contest for the presidency of the United States?
They too would say it's in Revelation.
I think they might.
Now, Tim, Monday, you mocked me Monday, so I have some evidence, I think, that proves that I should not have been mocked Monday. I suggested that Oprah would have to go through the primaries against Democratic opponents, remember?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was roundly mocked. I think everyone
I didn't mock you.
Okay. So here's Elizabeth Warren's response to the thought of Oprah running. Now, Elizabeth Warren, the Massachusetts senator, who a lot of people think she's got
Pocahontas.
Pocahontas. That's what President Trump calls her. She said, when asked on CNN Wednesday, she said, "I don't know if America is ready for another celebrity billionaire president." She said, "Here's what I do know. We are right now in the middle of fights that will determine our future for generations to come." See, I think for Democratic candidates who are eyeballing a run, I think Oprah's going to have to, she's going to have to go through that kind of ambition.
But it's the same thing, President. It's the same thing candidate Donald Trump had to go through.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That is credibility,
right?
You know, and
she'd have to garner a whole lot of support from the radical left, and I think they might be done with the celebrity thing. My thought.
Well, maybe so, but you know, I think her. You would have to ask yourself: could she beat an Elizabeth Warren? Could she beat a Bernie? I'll never go away, Sanders.
Yeah, right.
People like that, people who are, we don't care for their politics, but they're substantive on their ideology.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Versus somebody who's basically a pop culture queen who may prove to be more substantive on issues, although I doubt it.
Right.
I don't think she'll run, because I put it this way, she's much beloved by most of the American public, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get into politics, as President Trump found out. Of course, he was you end that pretty quick.
He was fairly popular too. In
yeah, well, he had the number one television show in America for 10 years.
I mean, he wasn't a reviled figure.
Democrats loved him. Yeah. He gave money to Democrats,
right? So, but once you begin to, and President Trump did, once you begin to take stands on divisive issues, then you begin to draw fire, what I'm saying, and she would probably draw fire, Oprah Winfrey would, from the left, unless she came out, you know, hard left on issues and promised to make them
well.
Happy.
This is a story that I was just quoting from Real Clear Politics, and this is the question of, you know, what does Elizabeth Warren, who might be a Democrat and might be running for president, what does she think about the possibility of a Oprah candidate? I actually like what one of the commentators said. One of the comments underneath the story: America doesn't want either one of you two brain dead left wing goons.
So, I'm sorry, what I was.
This is what this
distracted.
One person commented: America doesn't want either one of you two brain dead left wing goons. neither Oprah nor Elizabeth Warren do we want.
I take that's probably a Republican voter there commenting.
Probably a Trump supporter.
Okay,
but I brain dead left wing goons. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to save that for an important moment.
All right, Walker, you got an announcement to make?
Yes, before Steve gives us the news of the day. Preborn, you've been hearing Preborn Ministry touted on American Family Radio this week. Well, we are partnering with Preborn, and what Preborn does is they provide free ultrasounds to women across the country, free ultrasounds to women across the country who are pregnant. And many times some of these women are thinking about an abortion. But what Preborn does is they provide the free ultrasound, and oftentimes, 70 to 80% of the time, that changes the pregnant mother's mind on whether to have an abortion or not, because they see their child's heartbeat, they see the child moving around in the womb. So American Family Radio is partnering with Preborn to provide free ultrasounds to women who are pregnant. And so here's what you can do to pitch in. $28 provides one woman a free ultrasound. AFR.net, you can give online, or here's the phone number, 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396.
That's a great price for an ultrasound.
It is.
$28, that's amazing.
$28 for one free ultrasound.
You can save a baby.
Exactly.
Or
it's
babies.
Well worth
right?
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what? How do you do this, Walker, again?
The easiest way is to go to AFR.net, AFR.net. Also, on the Today's Issues Facebook page, I've posted a link with all the information you need and a phone number to call to pitch in and provide a couple of ultrasounds to women in need.
Well, babies are God's creation. And and life begins at conception. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe that, don't do anything about it after conception and see what happens 9 months later.
Yeah.
Life begins at conception, and we as God's people are to help defend and protect human life from the womb until natural death.
That's right.
So that's what we do. That's what we proclaim here. This is a standard from the Bible that we defend. So we're going to do everything we can in our power to promote the sanctity of human life. And January is Sanctity of Human Life Month. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve Jordahl, what do you got for us to talk about, Steve?
About an hour ago, Congressman Daryl Issa announced that he was no longer running. He would not run in 2018 for Congress. And this is a little bit more than just another Republican who says they're not going to run. He represents a congressional district down in Southern California. It's not Orange County, but it's close to Orange County, and it has traditionally been and voted Republican. But he only won his seat by less than 2,000 votes. And by the way, Orange County, which has been the Republican stronghold in Southern California, which is right next door to where he works and represents, Hillary in 2016 won Orange County by 9 points. It wasn't even close.
Is this because of immigration? Because Orange County includes San Diego?
No. Orange County is very small. Orange County is east of Los Angeles. It's Costa Mesa and tech companies there. The Santa Ana Airport is in Orange County, okay. John Wayne Airport. It's the home of conservatives, and why they went for Hillary, I think it's kind of a moderate Republican. They just didn't like Trump for some reason, but it was a significant loss. It was the one of the only moral or Pyrrhic victories that Hillary could point to. So ISA is on the Judiciary Committee, which is the one that's investigating President Trump and the Russian connection, and now the Hillary emails. He's the chair of the Internet subcommittee there, so whole deregulation and everything with that. He's on the Oversight Committee, which deals with health care. He's on the Foreign Affairs Committee. This is a significant loss for Republicans, and it is one more Republican that's not going to run again. This has legs for 2018, I fear.
Okay.
Well, you're saying that you think other Republicans, are you predicting
I'm saying this spells some trouble for Republicans.
Right.
If, you know, they've had a lot of, I don't have the number, but they've had a lot of people and some senior Republicans retire.
You think a Democrat will win this seat?
Good. Well, the data from 2016 indicates that it very well could happen.
Yeah, because as we've mentioned many times on the show, the party who holds the White House, if I'm not mistaken, the first midterm that comes up oftentimes swings in the other party's favor, the minority.
Generally, right.
And so, but incumbency in these swing districts tends to help these folks get reelected. But you take away the incumbency and you put a new face, a new Republican in on the ballot, people may not recognize
them. Yeah, but this was something that apparently had already been happening if Hillary won that county. It's got nothing to do with Trump.
Hillary
right?
didn't. I don't know if it has to do with Trump or not. Again, we don't know why. I didn't figure out why Hillary won that, but it is notable. And in addition to that, I had a great point that I just lost.
That's all right. But
I believe you.
Issa as an incumbent.
Oh, you can bet that the Democrats are going to put a big circle around this county.
Well, it is true. Walker's point is true. Which incumbency is a tremendous advantage even a close race. Well, I know what I'm saying.
So, yeah. So anyway, that's one set of breaking news. Another thing breaking here. We just got a readout this morning of President Trump's call with President Moon Jae-in of the Republic of Korea. And when he's talking with President Moon, He made this statement. He expressed his openness to holding talks between the United States and North Korea at the appropriate time under the right circumstances. First time I've heard the White House say that they're open to direct talks with North Korea.
Well, it wouldn't be direct, would it? Be South Korea intervening?
President expressed his openness to holding talks between the United States and North Korea.
Right, because South and North Korea just met in the last few days
right.
to talk.
And by the way, the first thing that this readout says is that President Moon briefed Donald Trump on the outcome of the discussions between North and South on January 9th and thanked President Trump for his influential leadership in making the talks possible. So they thanked him, but this readout... And words are just...
What's a readout, for those who don't know?
What they do is they don't give you exactly a transcript, but what they do is they will write up the discussions and the points that were said. It's like an outline of what was said during the phone call. And so they use words carefully. And I think if South Korea were going to mediate between the two, that would have been said. But what they said is talks between the United States and North Korea, which... I don't know. Is that a good thing or
a
bad thing?
Well, you can go both ways on that. Most people would probably say, no, don't negotiate with a terrorist, right? Is that,
right.
And that's
That
makes sense. That makes sense. However, there are some mitigating circumstances here that may alter that position. And that is, you have... If you can somehow if you could somehow get this guy, what's his name, Kim Jong-un, if you could somehow get him to take down his nuclear program.
Well, yeah, I would tell you right now that he will say that that's not on the table.
Okay. Well, I don't know where you start then with talks, but a lot of times people say things aren't on the table,
right? Mm-hmm.
And then they become on the table when they get into negotiations. But you know, I'm thinking out loud here. This is the first I've heard of this particular story, but I'm just saying there's millions and millions of lives at stake if you were to get into a shootout between the U.S. and North Korea, for example, especially people who live on that Korean peninsula. In this situation, I might listen closely to what the South Korean president and his leaders say, because they're the ones who are...
They're going to take
the most
brunt.
Direct threat.
Yeah, so I would say, what do you suggest that we do here? Now, we have more to consider than they do in terms of the broader picture. I mean, you got weapons. You got missiles.
You got Japan.
You got missiles pointed at Japan and Guam and Alaska and Los Angeles and San Francisco. And now they're saying they got something that could reach even further than that. You have to consider those things. But
this is a substantive issue. But on the lighter side of it, it would be interesting if they do sit down and hold talks and we're able to reach some kind of an agreement on nuclear weapons in North Korea.
Have to be verifiable.
What would be interesting is to see the two sides that were fighting about the deal that President Obama made with Iran all of a sudden switch sides because it's a Republican president. The Republicans are going to say this is good, and Democrats are going to say you fool, exactly the opposite of what everybody, the sides that were on the Iran.
That's true. That's true, except that I wouldn't have been critical of President Obama's deal with Iran, although I got to tell you, I couldn't explain it to you.
Right.
I just know what I've read, about it, and it doesn't seem to be verifiable. That's the problem. And if President Trump, if President Obama had negotiated a deal with Iran to get them to quit their nuclear program, and it was verifiable, I would applaud him for something like that.
Right.
This seems to me, in the same way with President Trump, should he be able to do something with North Korea? So it isn't just the negotiation with them, just because he's a Democrat. I hate what he did.
Right.
It's and then you had the whole deal about the money,
the cash.
And
I think there are still parts of that Iran deal that we still don't know about because they were written in secret and they're still being kind of held in secret.
That's proven to be a That deal has proven to be really bad on many fronts, and that was a deal. That was a legacy deal that President Obama wanted to do with Iran to prove he was worthy of the Nobel Peace Prize that he won.
First week he was in office.
Remember that?
Yes.
All right, we got 3 or 4 minutes, Steve. Please tell me you got a snowflake story. Do you not?
I got a little.
We haven't had a Russian story in a long time.
I know.
We haven't had one. This isn't exactly snowflake, but this is kind of interesting. Do you know that Americans spend 608 hours a year on social media and 1,642 hours a year on TV, watching TV?
1,642
hours a year. The average American spends on TV. Now, this guy did some math, and by his statistics, he says for only 400 hours per year, 417 hours, you could read 200 books a year.
Depends how quickly you read.
Right, I suppose, but
365 days times 2 hours a day is
720 something.
700. Okay,
that's 730.
That to me would be an average. That would be a reason.
That is 68 24-hour days. That's
1,642
hours.
We're calling that man a liar, Steve.
Here's how much time a single American spends on social media and TV in a year. 608 hours on social media, 1,642 hours on TV.
That's right.
It's a lot of overtime games. That's all I know.
That is, if you make that into 24-hour days, I divided that by 24.
Yeah.
That's 1,642. That is more than 68 24-hour days spent in front of the boob.
Hey, he's just the messenger, Ed.
He might be. And
Steve's just the messenger.
But even if you take the 608 hours of social media, and that's probably with as much time as we spend
with
the screen, that think of what you could learn and what you how much more informed you would be if you read 200 books. And I walk around with a Kindle. I don't even have to carry the books. I got a whole library.
That's ironic because you would be on social media as you're reading the books that try to keep you off social media.
I'm not so sure that reading a book on Kindle would be considered social media. It's an electronic
device.
You're
already rationalizing, Steve.
So it is screen time. But yes. So, and this is, by the way, from Charles Hsu, and it was on QZ.com.
When you get back to your office, would you send me that story?
I will.
I don't know.
The name of the article.
Catastrophe.
The name of the article is How to Read 200 Books a Year by Quartz. In the time you spend on social media each year, you could read 200 books. I'll send you a copy. And Walker will probably put it up on our Facebook page. Yep. And if he wasn't going to do it before, he has to now.
I think,
God save
America. A lot of people's reading has switched from books in your hand to internet.
Devices.
I was just kidding about that. That counts. If you're reading a book, you're reading a book.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but you don't know. You don't know when you're sitting in church. Is the guy next to you really looking at his Bible?
That is true.
Or is he looking at scores?
That's true.
And in order to judge him, you almost got to look over there.
I will not read a Bible on my phone for that very reason.
And it's important to judge him
because it looks bad.
It looks bad. It looks like I'm. It looks like I'm.
It does
checking
look
the,
bad.
The hockey scores.
Even if you're looking at the Bible,
it's the Bible. I'm telling you, it's the Bible.
Right. It looks bad. We all agree on.
I think
that.
So.
I agree.
I don't know. I use my Bible on the.
You and I go to church together, Steve.
On my device.
I've judged you.
Good. Well, I'm sorry.
You can't do it
when you're in the choir.
Next Sunday, I'm going to look over at you and I'm going to be laughing because you're going to be judging me while I'm doing it.
Just show me your phone.
That's right.
Show me the Bible on the phone.
Show me the phone.
Okay. We're out of time. Have a great day, everybody.